And speaking of good, we are here with Mr. Peter Myers from DDJ Myers. How are you, sir? Trying to translate the cool accents here.
I'm doing well. You know, it's a nice solid heat here.
It is a solid heat.
So you walk outside, you know you're alive still.
And that's right.
I'm enjoying it. Just was in the Life Profit presentation just now. That was very interesting.
Okay.
That was great. It's great stuff. Yeah.
All right. And you guys were presenting as well. I think it was yesterday, right?
We did, yeah.
Presented on blind spots in succession planning, and this immediately piqued my interest.
All right. Yeah.
Blind spots in succession planning. All right. Give me a quick overview here, what you guys talked about, and then we'll go into the weeds a little bit.
Okay. So over the years, I can't tell you how many times we've heard people say, oh, X amount of CEOs are going to retire in Y amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would find, like, where did you get that statistic from, right? Like, did you just make it up on the spot,
yeah,
or is that
That's
just
a big stat these days.
Exactly, right? So NAFQ, BFP Gallagher, and DDJ Myers partnered last year to do this groundbreaking research project,
right,
where we queried CEOs, sitting CEOs, board chairs, and then we did some tier one, tier two executive content, right?
Mm-hmm.
We queried them on CEO succession planning topics, board succession planning topics, women in leadership conversations, and then also sentiment regarding board compensation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got all this data, and then over the last 9 months or so, we've been parsing those pieces out and giving educational sessions on the topics, right? So yesterday was on, we touched into CEO succession planning and board succession planning and revealing the blind spots that some people have.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, lots of people have, and really, what is it? What does succession planning mean, and really, where are we?
Yeah, what are some of the blind spots that you guys discovered?
Yeah, so the big statistic, the one that really gets everyone really rallied is, you know, 61% of CEOs self-identified transitioning from their role in the next 5 years. So last year we did it. Last year was they said six years,
right,
but now the data is a year old, right? It's about a year old. So within the next 5 years, these X amount of credit union CEOs, especially north of $750 million in assets, said they're transitioning out of their role.
Wow.
Right?
And
so
it's
a big number, right?
Yeah.
And it's an exciting number because there's a lot of change that's going to happen. People's 401k portfolios are finally kind of at that level, right? You know, market's actually hitting record levels today. I got in the news alert. So that's an opportunity for executive team members or other CEOs to transition, et cetera. But what's the blind spot is that people aren't talking about it. People aren't necessarily talking about, well, what are we doing over the next 5 years? Really, what do we need to do over the next 5 years? Too often boards go, well, our succession plan is we're going to hire a search firm.
Okay.
Which is fine. Hey, we're a search firm, right?
Right.
So yeah, fine.
Right.
Call us.
But
the job, you know, who misses out is the internal potentials, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the other statistics we have is, and I'm not going to be able to remember it off the top of my head, do you have someone clearly identified as a successor?
Right, right.
Right. So Mike's going to retire. I work for Mike.
Mm-hmm.
And you think Peter's great. Thanks.
He's a good guy.
Thanks.
Really good guy,
it.
For sure.
But actually, the board chairs have a significantly less high degree. I'm not saying that very well. They are not as confident in the identification of a clear successor as the sitting CEO.
Within
their organization.
Really? I would think it'd be the other way around.
Yeah, so they're not as confident.
Hmm.
And what we found is boards and CEOs don't have a structure in place to go, well, here's what I think of Peter. Well, we're not actually looking for a Peter in the next CEO role. We're looking for someone like a Jose or a Jeff or you know, whatever, something different. So they're just not in that conversation, right? So that's a blind spot.
Yeah. What's going on there? Because I'm thinking it would be the other way around, because you're familiar with that person, you know how they work, you've seen a track record, all this stuff, and probably a recommendation from the current CEO, that type of stuff.
It happens.
That's so interesting.
Don't get me wrong, it happens. Definitely internal, you know, talent. Like, hey, we know Peter or whomever it is.
Yeah.
They're comfortable with them. Actually, of the current CEOs that participated in the survey, we segmented them into different asset classes, sub 150 million, 150 to 750, 750 and above, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Of the CEOs that participated in that, 70% of that middle tier, so 150 to 750, came from internal placement.
Okay, all right.
70% of the larger asset class,
so
and the smaller,
looking outside.
Smaller, it was half.
That's interesting.
So statistically significant number that the middle tier is promoting from within.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that's better. I'm not saying it's worse.
Right,
but
it is what it is.
But they're doing something different, right?
Right.
And so what we're finding is with the larger organizations or ones that are looking more progressive is, well, we don't want to hire Peter because we know them. Familiarity is comfort. And we can't make such the most important decision as a board based on comfort.
Right.
We got to make it based on strategy. We got to make that decision based on the competency and the skill set. The days of, well, Peter knows our culture and we don't want our culture to change. Well, cultures have to change in order for the organization to evolve. I mean, just by definition, right?
Yep.
So boards are becoming more progressive on that notion.
Okay. You know? So what do these numbers tell you? The obvious thing is, the larger ones are looking outside the industry, the middle tier is staying inside, the bottom rung is still looking outside as well.
Yeah.
So, but what's the meaning there? What are you guys deciphering from these actions?
So,
brief
story. So recently, we get brought in, we teach CEO succession planning, right? So we'll do like a little bit of educational piece. When really progressive boards dive into this topic, they realize, well, we aren't talking about succession planning for ourselves too. And so what happens is a great conversation occurred. And so recently I did this with a really great organization. They identified that out of their board, 70% of the board is going to leave within a 1 to 2 year time frame of the CEO also leaving.
Wow, that's,
which is within 5 years ish.
Talk about change.
So we're talking about a board that's been together for a long time. CEO has been there for a long time. Super successful organization, and within a few months they realized the severity of this talent and experience that's going to leave the organization.
Right.
And so now they got to face into it and do a lot of different actions, right? So now there's a certain level of urgency. There's still time, but as you know, tenured board members, they have a lot of experience. They've been through economic cycles.
Oh, yeah.
How do you fast track that? How do I shove all that knowledge into you in 5 years, right? So it's a challenge,
yeah,
right?
No doubt. So, no doubt. So do you guys have any, I mean, what was kind of the, I don't know, the wrap up of your talk? How did you kind of, are there solutions here?
Yeah, well, it's a structured process, right? I mean, so it's not something to do over a weekend, right? Like we had, you know, boards will say, well, we want to do board succession planning and we want to slot you into our strategic planning session. You know, can you do it from Saturday 3 to 5:30, you know, or whatever? It's not that simple, right? It takes a long time.
Yeah.
So what we do is we build an appetite.
Okay.
Right? Like, do you really want this change, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Do you really want this? Because what it means is this, this, and this, and this, and this, all these other things.
Yeah, yeah.
So Dede and I, next week, we get to go work with, it's a very large organization, and they're really progressing. They're thinking 5-10 years out, and the board's going to turn and all
That's
this.
Good.
And
that's
good. So we're establishing some foundational board performance practices, right? So peer-to-peer interview, assessment of the board, get the executive team assessing the board's performance. I mean, really progressive organization, right?
Yeah.
And not a lot of boards do board assessments, and much less than there's an even minority of them that do it, that ask for feedback from the CEO and the executive team, right? So they want the best quality practice. So that's what we're establishing.
Okay.
So we're establishing benchmarks and what do we need from the board in the future? Where do we need them? What's that demographic look like? What's that skill set look like? How do we rank those things? So it's a year-long process to work on these things.
So it sounds like you guys are trying to reduce the amount of unpredictability of this change.
Well, what happens is, that change is going to occur. We want to reduce the amount of pressure and urgency, because when there's pressure and unanticipated pressure with a high amount of urgency, it's harder for us to be strategic about it. It's harder for us to be proactive and anticipate and diffuse any potential tension, right? Because sometimes what happens is in pressure, people start to grab on, right? They tighten the reins, as opposed to, okay, wait, the best thing is for 5 years from now, 1, 2, 3 that's kind of what we're doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are some eye-popping numbers for sure.
It's fun, you know, and you know what we get to do with is like educate people on some of those like progressive things. So I'll give you another example.
Sure.
We had, we over the years, we've had boards say a number of little things, as I'm sure you've had people say little things on here, like, did you know that that was recording? You know, I don't know if you've had that, but I'm imagining.
A couple of times,
yeah. Right? And so when we talk about CEO succession planning, I had a board member in an education session in December say, As I get older, I get more conservative in my views. We were talking about bias, and I was doing some of the educational content. And he goes, and hiring a female as a CEO seems like a risky business decision.
Oh my.
Okay, right? And I go, wow, did you just know that you're in a jury of your peers right here, yeah. Right? Not really a jury, but it was a session, right?
Sure, sure.
And so what I said is, okay, what do I do here, right, in this moment? I don't want to publicly admonish this individual mm-hmm, for mm-hmm. being really, really, saying something really sexist,
yeah,
right? And so I said, I appreciate what you're doing is you're revealing your bias. You're revealing your bias, and that actually that bias is not really based in a lot of facts. Mm-hmm. Like there's actually a lot of research that's counter to that, right? And yeah. So what I encourage you to do is really like reflect on some of those pieces and think about how it's informing your decisions,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All that. So, wow. You know, it's a clenching kind of moment, those things, because we want to help people.
Right.
Uncover
right.
those biases, mm-hmm. put them out there, and mm-hmm. work through some things.
Yeah.
So.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
For so, sure. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the numbers are just still mind-blowing. I mean, the change continues at such a large rate. So, and there's so much change going on in the industry, not only in leadership, but technology, operations.
Oh, yeah.
You name it. Everything is changing, evolving at such a fast rate. So, and you guys are right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah.
We're trying. Right. So are you. You're in the middle of
a little
too.
Bit. Well, I'm yeah, just kind of delivering bit. The message. So
yeah,
we
right.
do what we do. So, hey, where can we find out more information on that? Do you guys have, like, any
yeah.
materials or anything like this on
of
this?
Of course,
or
yeah. So on our website, yeah, ddjmyers.com, okay. actually, and also nafq.org/ddjmyers.
Okay.
So on the particular pieces of the research,
mm-hmm.
We did a webinar. We did it in a format so that boards can play it during a board session or mm-hmm. on their own,
mm-hmm.
and then we pose questions, right? So we put the data up there,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, you can kind of make your own assessments mm-hmm. about the data,
mm-hmm.
but we pause and we put provocative questions out there to make sense of mm-hmm. the data,
mm-hmm.
and so then boards will discuss the content, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it brings out a different conversation. So there's a webinar on that research. It's called The State of Credit Union Leadership and Succession.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll put that link in the show notes so people can get
hey,
right to
great.
It, sir.
Thank you.
All righty.
Yeah.
Peter Myers, everybody.
Hey.
DJ Myers doing some
Mike Lawson,
fantastic
see
stuff.
You broadcast.
We're here delivering the news to you. All right, man. Good stuff.
Hey, thank you.
Well done, sir. Good job.